You're listening to the Salon Owners Collective podcast, where each week we share stories and expertise from business owners like you, plus experts, influencers, and Larissa's actionable steps that will transform your business and your life. And now your host, Larissa McLemon.
Welcome to the Salon Owners Collective podcast. I'm really excited. This is a very special episode. It is our 100th episode of this podcast. It's a little bit special, as you would agree. And firstly, I really want to thank you for joining me on this journey. So many people reach out to me and thank me for having such great guests on the show, that they learn so much. But you know what? It actually wouldn't be possible without you, and if you didn't support by listening into the podcast each and every week. So I want to thank you for reaching our 100th episode milestone. So to celebrate this episode, I wanted to encourage you to share this episode or maybe your favorite episode with one other, at least, of your other salon owner friends. And we want to help more people stop spinning wheels in their business and really enjoy growing their business, earning more freedom and more profit in their salon business. So please share this episode. And I'm really excited for this particular one because I'm joined by my very own marketing coordinator, Susie Broad. Now, Susie is fluent when it comes to speaking all things social media, especially Facebook. Not only does she work here at the Salon Owners Collective, but she also helps salon owners to power their Facebook marketing through SalonBot. If that wasn't enough, she owns her own business, her own label, and she also is a blogger too. This girl is a true powerhouse. I know you'll love this episode. Today, she's sharing with us her knowledge surrounding Facebook marketing that actually gets results, especially for the hair and beauty industry. Let's jump straight in to chat with Susie Broad. Susie, thank you so much for joining me on the Salon Owners Collective podcast. I'm super pleased to have you here.
No worries. Thanks for having me. I'm so excited.
Me too. So before we rock into the awesome things that you're going to share with us, let's get a little bit of background of what's your journey, how did you end up at the Salon Owners Collective, who were you prior, and a little bit about what you do in your day job.
Okay, cool. So I currently live in Windy Wellington, New Zealand.
Mm-hmm. And not far from me.
No. And I work for SalonBot as a marketing coordinator. And my primary role is to create content for salon owners who want to harness the power of Facebook marketing and attract new clients. I also am the marketing coordinator at Salon Owners Collective, and I do have a pretty kick-ass boss.
I'll pay you later.
Outside of that, I own a swimwear brand called Salt Label, which is an e-commerce business, and it's been running for a little over 2 years now. It's been recognized worldwide this year, and it was published in 3 issues of Vanity Fair, which, as a 22-year-old self-taught designer from Wellington, is an absolute dream come true. Mm-hmm. I also write blogs for Boss Babe, which is pretty similar to Salon Owners Collective, but they're quite broad with their online learning, and they target female entrepreneurs doing anything and everything. So you could say that I spread myself thin, but I honestly love everything that I'm doing. And I couldn't be happier with the opportunities that come my way.
That's awesome, Susie. And I'm amazed at the things that you do and that you accomplish. And you do amazing things for us at SalonBot and Salon Owners Collective. For me, it is a dream come true. And I often talk to people who feel discouraged when they can't find amazing people to join them on their business journey, or they complain that they can't find amazing people to work with, because you're a true testament to that, that there are awesome people out there who want to do awesome things and do good in the world. And you're certainly one of them. So I appreciate having you.
Oh, thank you. I love working for you.
All right. Another love fest. you're going to share some of your amazing insights because, you know, on a daily basis, you're creating marketing campaigns for salon owners. You are the one who knows exactly what's happening in the Facebook arena. So I really wanted to bring you on here and share some of that knowledge now that you have with us so we can, like you say, harness the power of Facebook particularly that we're going to talk about today, because it's an ever-changing environment and it's hard to keep up with. So please share your goodness with us. You've got a couple of tips for us. So what is your tip number one to harnessing Facebook marketing and attracting new clients?
Okay, so before I jump into the tips, I'm just going to give everyone a little bit of a breakdown about the whole Facebook thing.
Right.
So because I am across social media throughout all the roles that I do, I'm heavily involved in social posting, content, and all things online media based, really. So it's given me, like you said, massive amounts of insights into Facebook and just the Facebook algorithm specifically. And I know a lot of people's ears tend to switch off when they hear someone talking about the Facebook algorithm, because it seems like you have to be a tech expert to figure it out, when really that's not actually the truth at all. So I often see business owners specifically blaming the Facebook algorithm for a drop in reach and engagement on their posts. And for the most part, that is likely true. But it's not because the Facebook algorithm has changed. That hasn't happened since January 2018. It's because for some reason, the algorithm has decided that your content and your posts aren't keeping people on the Facebook platform for longer. So how you turn this around would really depend on why Facebook has decided not to show your content. But as a general rule, the best way to get back in the game is to just produce really great content. And it's that easy and also that hard. So My first tip would be surrounding content and the posts that you create. So I've heard you say this a lot, Larissa, but it's totally true. Don't put out content for the sake of putting out content. There has to be some kind of meaning behind it. It needs to be targeted correctly, or you'll just end up with another dead-end post with no one interacting with it. So your content and your audience pretty much go hand in hand. There is no point posting about, you know, updos if your main client base book in for color appointments. So be consistent with content, but make sure it's the right content for your audience.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And I think sometimes, well, I know this to be true, you know, you can think, oh my goodness, I haven't posted for a little while. I better post something quick, hurry, what shall I do? And in an attempt to post something, we just post literally that, a something. And we're not really strategically thinking about what does our client care about? What are they interested in, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So we need to be thinking of who's watching it and will they... here's a good way to think about it. Is it scroll stopping? Because there is such a thing as scroll FOMO. Mm-hmm. We keep scrolling. You know, one of the things that we're battling is getting people to stop the scrolling and actually look long enough or click on our content, right? So is this thing that I'm going to post interesting enough to stop the scroll and for people to stop and actually look at it? And if the answer is no, you're better to post nothing. Would you agree?
Yeah, definitely. That's pretty much hitting the nail on the head.
Good. Done. What's your next one?
Engagement and interacting with your clients. So Facebook actually makes your posts more visible if it believes it's a popular post. So an easy way to take advantage of that is replying to every comment that you get. So each comment, including your replies, make your post more popular. So you can keep up engagement by liking and replying to every comment, but you also need to make sure it's done in a very timely manner. You know, like if you are replying to comments a week later, it looks like you're just ticking off a task on your to-do list, and chances are the potential client that commented no longer cares about your post or what you're talking about. So doing the like and comment also gives your potential clients a great way to feel special. They feel like you've taken some time out to speak to them specifically. They won't essentially give you the time of day unless you create that first connection. So you should really treat your replies like a first touch point with your clients. And a touch point is each initial contact you have with your client, whether that be the Facebook comment, the phone call, or when they walk in your door. So you are wanting to express who you are and show that you care in that first kind of touch point, which in this case is the reply.
Okay. I really like that analogy. And I love that you've connected it to like when somebody walks in the door and we answer the phone, because typically in our salons, we have that script or that process down pat. You know, we've got that nailed. We teach our team, this is how we answer the phone, this is what we do. I know when I had my salon, we certainly did. We had it written and we talked about it often. What were the steps when someone walked in the door? We look up from the computer straight away. We ensure we get eye contact. And we had some steps, right? So this maybe needs to become part of the normal process that we're checking our content and doing the same. Would that be fair?
Yeah, definitely. I feel like social media, just because, you know, you're sitting behind a screen doesn't mean the interaction is less important.
Yes, I love that. And also you know, talking about that personal interaction and that conversation, it's a little bit like, I know I've used this analogy a few times, Susie, is I think sometimes we can get in the headspace that our social media is a bit like a concert, that we're up on a stage and we're blurting out or we're blaring out something at people, whereas actually we need to be thinking about it as an intimate dinner party when we're sitting with a small amount of people having a personal, intimate conversation with them like a bunch of friends, rather than on a concert stage when we're blurting at this massive crowd and probably no one's really paying attention. Would that be a good analogy?
Yeah, totally. And that also runs on to my third tip, actually, of selling in tone of voice. So, you know, if you're selling or promoting a product or service, ask yourself, what makes you personally buy something? How do you like to be spoken to? And what sorts of stories or hooks make you immediately click and think, oh my God, I need that? You know, like when you are upselling clients in your salon, you aren't just saying, oh, you need this, this, and this for your hair. You take the time to understand who the person is, and you know, like it's all about as if they're your best friend and you care about them. You aren't just shoving a service or product at them because, you know, that would be awkward in person. And so why is that not awkward with social media?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it totally should not be different on Facebook or any social media platform for that matter. So you need to engage with them, talk about your why, tell a story that casually mentions your product or service, learn who your audience is, and then talk to them like a person, not a billboard or an infomercial. And think about the pages on Facebook that you like to hear from or interact with. I would bet money on it that their tone of voice is more conversational and less ad-like. So these are real people you are dealing with. So you shouldn't really get sucked up in the marketing mumbo jumbo of it all, and just be yourself, stick to your brand and create real conversations.
Yeah, I like that. I kind of like that, you know, you're really positioning it as this personal place, with real conversations and real people, because somehow we forget that. Somehow, maybe in the function of it or the need to be present or do something, we forget that, like you said, there's real people at the other end talking. And if we position ourselves that way and talk to them directly, then it does become a little bit more personal.
Yeah, well, like I said, you know, people tend to get mixed up in the marketing and, oh, what lingo should I be using? And, oh, have I done this right? You know, just be yourself, put yourself out there and share something as if you actually would with someone in person. It should not be any different just because it's, you know, done from through a screen. You're still the same person, the same brand, so you should essentially share that as it is.
Okay, I really like that. And it's a shift of mindset, actually, around how we're looking at where we position social media, really, isn't it?
Yeah, well, like you can get quite techie with your ads and all of that stuff, but in, you know, everyday posting and interactions and Instagram, just keep that conversational tone going, and yeah, it will resonate with the right people.
Okay. So the purpose really around that part of social media is to let people get to know you, like you, trust you. It's the human relationships more than the sell.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Would it be helpful, do you think, for salon owners to think of one particular client and just do their social media content and posting and talking and storytelling to that one person, i.e. their ideal client? Like, would that make it a little bit more easy to relate to rather than kind of talking out to this nothingness crowd, because there's not always someone that directly talks back to you in that moment?
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, start with your ideal client, figure out who they are, aim things at them. And when you get a bit more traction with doing that and you know how to do it really well, add some more ideal clients on that to the point where you have three and you're targeting three different audiences with different, you know, tones of voice and different posts that they're interested in. But yeah, a really good place to start is just figure out who that ideal client is and speak to them as if they are your best friend.
Yes, BFFs forever. I want to encourage you guys to, when you do that and you're aiming, you know, you're changing your method and you're aiming to increase engagement, to give yourself some space to give it a go and not give up and make some mistakes, or get, when you give it a go and you don't get any engagement back, not to stop, keep going. Because my experience is that engagement is won over time. You know, people need to see, and it takes a while for them to interact back. So keep going, even if you're not getting interactions straight away. Does that make sense?
Definitely. And also, trial and error is everything with social media. You know, you can test different things, and it's not like it's going to be the end of the world if it doesn't work. You're just putting up more content essentially. So, you know, try different things, target different audiences, and see what sticks, see what resonates with the people that you're putting this stuff in front of.
Absolutely. I always believe it's part art, part science. You know, there's so the science is, you know, there are some technical, mechanical things that are going to help, but it's also part art. And you need to find your own personal mix of both of those things. So there's not one size that fits all. Otherwise, we'd all be doing the same thing and all have a billion followers, right?
Exactly, yeah.
All right, it's been hugely insightful, and I hope that, I know that those tips are going to help you shift your mindset around your purpose on social media and your voice. So I really appreciate you coming and sharing your insight, Susie.
Yeah, no worries.
Now, you are a business owner yourself, as much as that you give your heart and soul to us. So what is a quote or a mantra that keeps you going or keeps you sane in business, Susie?
I feel like this is actually more of my own realization, more than a quote, but it is business development is really just self-development. And hold on 2 seconds. My screen went black for some reason. Business development is self-development. Money is an exchange of energy. As long as you're learning and having fun, failure is impossible.
Oh, I love that. That's really awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would absolutely agree. And failure doesn't have to be seen as failure. It's just experiments in my world.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, what about a book or a resource or a podcast or something else that you believe salon owners must get hold of?
A book that I adore is The Little Black Book by Otago. It's the Sunday Times bestseller, actually, and it's described as a toolkit for working women. And I stumbled upon this book, and it actually, I had no idea who the writer was or what she did, but I stumbled on her website, which is Woman Who, and it's actually a support and inspirational platform for working women. And she also has a fantastic podcast talking about really good topics that I love to listen to.
Great. I need a new podcast. Widen my horizons. You know, I've never heard of that one, so I really appreciate it. We'll put the links in this episode on this episodes page. Forgot those words for a moment there. All right, thanks for sharing that, Susie. Now, where can we find you?
So if you want to get a hold of me, I think my direct contact would be SalonBot Messenger, but we also have a website which is salonmessengerbot.com. So yeah, that would mainly be, I guess, my sole contact, and salonownerscollective.com, of course. And my business one is saltlabel.co.nz. Would love to know what you guys think about it, considering it's quite a different industry to this one. And you can also check me out on Instagram, susie.broad.
Love your Instagram feed, by the way. Go and check it out. Susie, thank you for coming on the podcast and sharing your insights. I do really appreciate having you. So thanks.
No worries. I hope we can do it again soon.
I'm sure we will. And I really, really appreciate having you as part of this team. You're absolutely amazing. So thanks again.
Oh, thank you.
And that's a wrap from us today. Thank you so much for joining us on our 100th episode. It was so great to be reminded of how we should be interacting with our ideal clients, even through a screen. And if you want to know more about SalonBot, please head to salonmessengerbot.com. I look forward to sharing the next episode with you. Talk soon.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Salon Owners Collective Podcast. Tune in each week as we reveal the latest insight and advice on what it takes to make your salon a success today. Subscribe to the Salon Owners Collective podcast on iTunes or visit us online at salonownerscollective.com for answers to your common questions, to follow Larissa and much more. Thanks for listening. See you next time.